So now it's my duty and pleasure to welcome Brother Dave and ask him to come and give us those necessary words of exhortation.
Well, good morning, everybody. Nice to see you all here this morning. Do you ever worry that you don't fully understand the nature of God? That you haven't really got the grasp on it? That you're confused about something? Because you started laughing already, that's always a worry. But if you're confused, really in our lives, there's a journey. We understand more and more and more, don't we, which is quite an important thing. And even though you might be confused, how can we ever really fully understand the nature of God? We might see a little bit of him, and when you see a little bit or you see a little glimmer, you realise what you're seeing is great and glorious. Some months ago, I was lucky enough to go, we went up to Liverpool for a visit, and we went to the art gallery. It was free, basically. It was great. They had a huge painting at the top of the stairs. And the painting had been commissioned by the Liverpool Blind Children's Institute back in 1880-something or other. You see, they had a problem. The problem was that the children, I'm going to use a horrible word, the children had no economic value. That's a horrible word, isn't it, if you think about it? And they were relying on the society that was around them. They were relying on the generosity of the people that were there in the society, the compassion, the civic consciousness, if you like, to provide them with money. So they commissioned a painting that was going to get people to give them money. Were they going to go for a politician or a sports person or a Greek god? Well, I don't need to tell you what they picked. It was easy. They picked a picture of Jesus. A huge picture of Jesus with the little children in his arms. You see, there is no mixed message, is there? Even if you're an atheist, you look at it and you think, I know exactly what that picture's saying. And they picked it and they think it solved the problem for them. Because people saw in Jesus that need, wasn't it? Something that was never going to be confused. Can you come with me to Luke and chapter 8, please? Can you come with me to Luke's Gospel in chapter 8? And look at verse 40, and here's another problem. Okay, Luke chapter 8, and we're having a look at verse 40. Now, let me just read a few verses. Now, when Jesus returned, he'd come from the other side of the lake. A crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to the house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. Okay, so he's got a problem. He's got another problem. As is always the case with the Jesus story here, it never fades with time. Okay, it never social change doesn't affect it, and it's always very, very accessible, isn't it? There's a change here. You see, Jairus, our friend here, as we know his name, and we know what his job is, and that's important there, because we know he had a central role in the life of the community there. He was a synagogue leader. The synagogue at the time was the centre of the religious, the cultural life, the social life of the town there. He was, if you like, the go-to man. He was the wise person there. We have our synagogue leader. Here he is this morning. Okay, he's the go-to man. He's the man of wisdom. He can solve everything because he is at the centre of the community, the culture, and the religion as well. But now he has to go to somebody else, doesn't he? He's got a problem that he must have tried to solve. He must have prayed about it. He must have gone to everybody. But he can't. He's got to go outside the synagogue, hasn't he, now? The great advantage of being here at Dudley is that you can see out the window if you're on the platform. And there's a lot going out there. You wouldn't believe what's going on out there. There's an entire mass of people out there, and they're talking to somebody who's healing. And he must have sat there, hadn't he? Yeah, Josh, have a look. Can you see the stuff that's going on outside the window there? Yeah. And he must have stood there, and he must have seen what was going on. And it must have gone on for weeks or days, and he must have known about it, hadn't he, in the synagogue there. And he knew now that it was only Jesus who could solve the problem for him. He was so desperate that, if you like, he began to think straight, didn't he? He was so desperate, all the barriers fell away, and he started to think straight. because he recognized in Jesus something that was very special. I'm going to call it holiness, if you like. Something separate, something different, something that was holy, wasn't it? And he knew Jesus was, Jairus must have been confused, hasn't he? He'd lived in this world that had got God inside his synagogue, and now he was going to have to go outside. But he saw something. He was confused, possibly. But just like us this morning, he recognized that if you had a problem, there was only one person to go to. You see, Jesus had been in synagogues before. He'd gone there first, and it hadn't been a good experience for him, had it? People had to jump over barriers. People had been blocked. They couldn't go to this ordinary man who was a street preacher, whatever you like. Too many barriers for so many people to work with God. If you remember, he went to Nazareth, didn't he? Now, that was not a good experience, was it? They tried to kill him. If people asked me in the week, you were at Dudley Queen's Cross the weekend, how did it go? Well, the first 10 minutes was fine, but after that, they tried to kill me. You think, well, that's going to be the thumbs down, isn't it? Dave, you need to work on that talk. Okay, it wasn't a great experience for him, but now, the experience here, it was an extreme for him, wasn't it? But after he recognized that he had to go outside, that he had to solve the problem through this man. In John 1, it tells us he came to that which was his own, but they did not recognize him. There were too many barriers in the way, weren't there? Can you come with me to Luke again? We're in the same chapter, and it's verse 22. Verse 22 of the same chapter. And it says, it sort of introduces this little section. It says, one day, Jesus said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side of the lake. So they got into a boat and they set sail and they went to the other side. They went to Decapolis. And the phrase the other side, unfortunately, has been sort of hijacked by the science fiction group, hasn't it? It means going over to the dark side or going to the other side. And I think the writers of the gospel were trying to say something like this, weren't they? Jesus, for a few days, went off the radar. Where's he gone? He's gone to the... Now, I was trying to think of something. I was going to make a joke about Jesus going across the Welsh border and being completely lost for a few days, but I'd better be careful with that one there. But if you think about it, Jesus could go anywhere, couldn't he? And here he was off the radar. He's gone, hasn't he, for a few days. He's lost communication. He's gone to this strange place. But Jairus needs him, doesn't he? And when he arrives back at the harbour with everybody else, he dashes down. He recognises the holiness in Jesus. And he's there waiting for him, just like us. He's on his knees. All self-pride has gone, hasn't it? And he's on his knees asking Jesus. It is extraordinary, isn't it? The little parable that Jesus almost is living out here. One side of the lake in Decapolis, there's a man there who has got a troubled spirit. Shall we call it that? A mental illness. He instantly recognizes the Son of the Most High God. He gets on his knees and he loses his chains. He comes to his senses. The other side of the lake, okay, there's another man, isn't there? And he gets on his knees. And does he lose his chains as well? Does he see clearly now what God wants of him? That it's his faith. Is that really what he wants? Jairus doesn't understand, but he recognizes the light, doesn't he? When he sees it, he knows and understands the point that he needs to make in his changes he needs to make in his life. I think the point we need to carry with us into the week ahead is we'll never fully understand, will we, the nature of God, this side of the kingdom at least, but every part of his nature, of his Son's nature, gives us a view of something God-like, doesn't it? Something holy. And whenever you see that little bit of it, okay, you see something special, don't you? Remember Moses saw just a part of God and it scared him to death, didn't it? Absolutely. Amazed him, didn't it, there? Remember in John's Gospel, in John chapter 6, Peter says, Lord, who shall we go to? When all else and all the disciples had left him. Peter says, who shall we go to? You are the Holy One of God. Where else should we go? I don't fully understand what's going on here in my life or what's going on, but I see in you something so special. I see your glory. I don't think we have to be confused. I think it's acceptable sometimes in our life to be confused about the understanding of God or the nature of God. And I think we're in a process, aren't we, that's growing in our understanding. which I think is important. It's okay, I think, not to fully understand the nature of God, isn't it? We can't say that we've got all the answers, can we, when it's truly God that's got the answers, isn't it? In John's Gospel, he tells us, doesn't he, that right at the very beginning, in chapter 2, the disciples, having seen just a few of the miracles, they say they see his glory. They see Jesus' glory. They see something special in him there. Jairus probably at the very beginning of this process, when his daughter was ill, thought he had holiness. He was a son of Abraham, didn't he? But the events brought him to his senses, didn't they? Brought him to his senses. What point do we have to go to in our lives, our spiritual journey, that sometimes brings us to our senses? It's a scary thought, isn't it, what God will do to bring us to our senses. Remember in the book of Samuel, at the very beginning, God had a problem with Eli, a big problem with him and his family, that he wasn't doing his job, and he picked that woman. Eli, the third time that Samuel came to him in the darkness of the night and said, and he woke him up, the third time he came to and woke him, this came to his senses, he must have thought, this is it, it's all over. He knew God had chosen somebody else, and it was all over. Back in Luke chapter 8, there's someone else who goes through a truly remarkable experience, isn't there? Look at verse 43. Woven into this story of Jairus, we have this woman. Look at verse 43 here. Is it verse 43? And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, and no one could heal her. She came up behind him, that's Jesus, touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. She had a problem, like Jairus, like other people. And that was the problem here. We don't know what her name is, but it's the problem that defines the woman, isn't it, here? Isn't that unusual? She doesn't have a name, she just has a problem. The world can't help her, all the money she's got cannot help her. But again, she comes to us, she approaches Jesus, and there in the street, where Jesus is accessible to her, Jesus doesn't want money, does he? He just wants her faith. That's remarkable, isn't it? The incredible irony of this story is, of course, that those two people would never meet in the synagogue, would they? The woman, because of her situation, the problem that defines her, could never go into the synagogue. And Jairus would probably never go out of the synagogue. But now they both need a problem that needs to be solved. They come together, don't they, in the street with Jesus. They're both made accessible to Jesus because of his very place. Are people accessible to our faith, to our preaching? It's an interesting thought, isn't it? Let me finish with one other aspect that this little section brings out. And it's very difficult. I don't understand it. It's verse 44. Have a look at verse 44 here. And it says, she came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. And Jesus says, verse 45, who touched me? And then they all denied it. And Peter said, Master, the people are crowding. It's impossible. How can you, this is crazy, like a football crowd here. Everybody's touching you there. But Jesus said, someone touched me. I know that the power has gone out from me. And the woman seeing that, the power has gone out from me. Isn't that an incredible thing? Now, I've looked at lots of different translations. I've looked at 20, I think, translations here. And there's two words that are used. One is power and one is virtue. Most of the time, it's power that's used. Now, I'm an engineer. I teach engineering. And the word power is my word. I'm comfortable with the word power. The power means the rate at which you do work. It's defined in joules per second. If you use the SI unit, it's kilograms meter squared per second cubed, okay? Have you got a note of that? Yeah, okay, you're making notes of that? That's kilogram meter squared per second cubed, because I understand it. But in this case, it is utterly useless understanding, isn't it? I cannot understand this verse because this power has got an extra dimension. It's got a moral dimension. It's got an ethical dimension. It's a power that finds people who've got faith. I don't understand that. But it reflects something in Jesus and it reflects something in God, doesn't it? Isn't that incredible? It's found someone that even Jesus cannot stop it coming out of himself. It's found someone who's got the quality of faith with a problem and it's healed them, hasn't it? I don't understand it, but again, I see in it a quality that is God-given, isn't it? The woman is no longer a woman who's got a problem, is it? An issue of blood. She's the woman of faith now, isn't she? She's the sister of faith. Jairus, as unfortunately, if you read on through the chapter, an even bigger problem, hasn't he? His life now isn't going to be defined by his daughter being saved or healed. His life is going to be defined by seeing someone raised from the dead, his own very daughter, isn't it? He's the synagogue leader, but now he's the father in the story, isn't it? Who saw something incredible, and that's what we can relate to. Last night, or yesterday afternoon, I was very lucky to go and listen to a performance of The Messiah. Some of the people here were performing in it. It was a privilege to listen to it. It was uplifting. It was wonderful. But I met someone there I knew who was holding their four-week-old grandchild. Okay, I won't tell you who it was. And they told me that they were experiencing a feeling of happiness that they have never experienced before in their lives. They didn't have to say anything to me. I could see it in their body language, in their face, because it was a human experience, wasn't it? In the week ahead, are our lives, our actions going to be defined by our job, our status, by the problems that we face, or by our faith? The fact that God has proved his love to us this morning, solved our problems by giving us his son. Because this morning, in this act of sharing, we see his glory, don't we?